It's all right. Is that okay with you? Yeah. Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. And thank you, Linda. I haven't heard that little chorus in a long time. We used to sing it at my first church that I pastored. And so thank you for sharing that this morning. So good morning. We are glad to see you this morning. We want to welcome all of you on this second Sunday after Epiphany. And we have gathered out of the cold and into the warmth today. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the church and how God cares and sustains the church and sustains us because we are a part of the church. And I hope that's a blessing to you later on. But we're so glad that you're here today. We want to welcome those that may be listening later on online. And hoping that this is a day filled with God's presence and love and grace today. So as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's join together for our call to worship this morning. Called to be the light. Called to follow Christ.
We come this day to serve.
Called to love God.
We come to worship and praise.
Well, let's join together there, and we're going to sing a hymn we haven't sung for quite a while. And but 672, Send the Light, and we're going to be singing the first, third, and fourth verses this morning.
There's a call comes ringing over the restless way. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore.
Send the light.
The blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light. Send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forever.
Let's sing it again.
Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light,
the
gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Well, let's join together this morning for our opening prayer. Light of the world, shine through our worship that we might see you more clearly and know you more intimately. Reveal your presence and make your voice heard that we may grow in love and shine with the light of your love for all to see. Amen. And you may be seated, and you can turn in your next hymnal, 384, Take Time to Be Holy. And we're going to be singing the first three verses of that hymn there this morning. Take time to be holy, speak often with God, find rest in Him always, and feed on His Word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, for take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Much time spent in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Take time to be holy, let Him be thy guide, and run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. I'm going to go ahead and invite our kids to come down this morning, if they would make their way. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Was it cold out this morning? What? So, how are you guys doing? Huh? You guys are pretty quiet this morning. Am I going to have to get you up and dance a little bit? We'll dance and wiggle a little. You don't want to do that? We'll get you warmer. Or wake you up or something. So, I want to talk to you this morning about this little passage here. He, which is talking about God, will keep you strong to the end. Keep you strong. So sometimes as kids, since we're still younger and growing, and I remember when I was a kid and still growing up, I wasn't as strong as I am today. Can any of you, would any of you be able to come over here and lift me up? No, I don't think you could. Can I lift you up? Why is that? Why could I lift you up? Huh? Gravity? We have to defy gravity for me to lift you up. Well, okay, yeah, it does help, yeah. But anyways, so what about that I'm older and stronger? Is that true? Okay. So I have more strength, but you don't have all your strength yet. So you're still growing. You'll continue to get taller and bigger and get stronger. And when you do that, I still don't think you'll be able to pick me up. I know. It's getting harder for me to pick up Chase. So plus, I got to watch my back so I don't hurt it again. But just think, though, that God
as we get older, we'll get stronger. But we read, even sometimes as adults, we may have more strength. But sometimes when we face things in life, we need the strength to go on. Mental strength. I mean, have you ever done really well at something, and then another time you didn't do as well at something, and you're like, I wanted to do better, but I didn't do as good. Now, I'm not saying you cry, but you may have. Or maybe you were frustrated with yourself or whatever, something you wanted to do really well. And so that takes mental strength, doesn't it? Yeah, we need to have some mental strength. That determination to keep working hard and to keep going at it and working at it. Whatever it may be. Maybe you want to build something with your hands or get on that bike and ride that bike. I can remember my oldest daughter, Karis, when I was first teaching her how to ride her bike. And she kept falling. She would get so far and then she'd fall over. And she's like, come on, keep at it, don't quit. And then eventually within, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, she had it and was riding. But we don't want to give up. And this passage here is telling us from Paul that God gives us strength to keep going in life. When life gets hard, when we get sad, when we get discouraged, when we don't get our way, or whatever it may be, or maybe we try to do something and we keep failing at it, and we're disappointed, we got to keep at it and not give up. And God, Paul says, God will give us the strength to keep going till the end. Whatever that may be, probably the end of our lives. And that for most of you, that's going to be, you know, I'll assume all of you, that's going to be a long time from now. But just think about that. God's with us, and God gives us strength to help us when we're feeling kind of weak or frustrated or disappointed or hurt or whatever it may be. God gives us strength to keep on going. All right? Okay, you guys can go on downstairs this morning. And as they're heading down, we will go to our time of prayer this morning. Maybe you have a joy or concern. Oh yeah, we can let our teenagers go. Sorry about that. For their class this morning. Maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share. And we'll let you do that. So somebody this morning. Yeah.
First of all, I'm glad to be back. I had to see all these smiling faces, and after we talked to Pastor Jason there, why, he makes us feel a lot better about ourselves. It gets a little rough, but you got to back to the solid shoulder there. You got to dig in there, keep going, and you all have been a whole lot to us, especially, you know, helping us out with the food and stuff, because man, I can only eat so many bloody sandwiches, you know what I mean? But I'm really glad to be back. Kay's doing fairly well, but after talking to that man up there, he makes you feel good about yourself. We really appreciate it. I want you all to know that. The guy knows his job, I'll tell you that. He's really good at it. But I'm glad to be back, and you all look really nice, so we're going to hang in there. We're going to stick in there and keep on going, but in the meantime, I want God to look out for all of you, and thanks again. It's difficult trying to find the right words to tell you how much we appreciate it, because we really, really do. We just don't know how we really do. Thank you, and I hope God blesses you every day for the rest of your life. Because believe me, you all deserve it. All of you. So before Pastor Jason tells me to shut up and sit down. I'm not going to just do that. But I'm really glad to be back. Thank you. You all look really good. Thank you.
And it's so good to see Jim back. And I remember the last time we talked, he said, I'm going to be back soon. I'm going to be back soon. And we are so glad to see him back with us today. And somebody else this morning. Someone else. Yeah.
The Barb Robinson family, she was so active in Miami East and the 4-H and everything, and she passed away. She is Ben Gustin's sister.
Okay, so I want to make sure I heard Robbins, right? Robbins family?
Robinson.
Someone else this morning. Yes.
Anna, prayers for Thursday and morning for some back surgery.
Okay. We want to remember Richard as he's going in. His last one. He was supposed to have this done already, and it got postponed because he got COVID. And thank God it was very mild and yes. And, So Thursday is going to be. Okay. We want to remember him in our prayers as he's going in for surgery. Somebody else. Yes.
Unspoken.
Okay. Yep. We know the Lord knows that. Someone else this morning. Yeah.
Both of my parents fell Thursday morning. Mom needed to be checked out at the ER, but no brain bleeds, nothing's broken. She did bang herself up pretty good, but no stitches. Dad just took a little while, a day or so, to kind of recuperate from that sore back and whatnot. My sister gets the results of her CAT scan tomorrow. I know we prayed for her last week. Just additional prayers for a good report for her.
Yeah, so we want to remember Carol and Bruce and continue praying for them for strength. Bruce had this was his fifth round, wasn't it? This the last one in this set of rounds, and they're going to be doing a scan on him sometime here soon. Not sure when yet. And then for her mom, Carol. And then Jill, we're been praying and believing for good results for that, and so we appreciate your prayers for her also. Somebody else, yes.
Trevor Zanker, we prayed for him here in church. The boys got the cancer in his arm. I guess he'd be 19 now, and of course they put a cadaver bone in him. You know, and it went bad. They took it out. And then it went into his lungs, and this is a blessing. This ain't a bad one. He pulls tractors. His dad modified his tractor so the boy could drive it with one arm. He won the Nationals over the weekend.
Oh, my God.
He gets the best.
Wow.
And that's what he wanted to achieve. So, I don't know what God's plan is for him, but he did get blessed.
Wow.
And, I mean, he won.
That is amazing, isn't it? Wow, just to think about that, battling all that stuff and everything he had went through. So, that's a good story. Somebody else, yes. Okay, unspoken. And I thought I saw another hand. Did I see another hand? Maybe not. Okay. All right. Well, maybe not. We want to. I know Elaine's here today, but we want to continue lifting her up in our prayers as she is still recuperating and recovering from that. I was telling everybody last Sunday that I didn't realize that that's something that took that long to recover from, and somebody had said almost up to a year, and. And I said, wow, we should have had her on the monthly list there. And so that people were praying for her. Megan Watkins, Nancy's daughter-in-law, is going on dialysis and asking for prayers for her. And appreciate, we're going to be putting her on the monthly calendar here in February. And keeping her in our prayers for that. Also, Esther, did you get your eye surgery yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, well, I got you down, and we want to keep you in prayer. Also, Jody's one of her best friends from high school, Dee Dee, her husband Derek, who's been diagnosed with cancer, and it's not a good picture. It's kind of gotten into a lot of his organs, and he's about 50, 51, somewhere in there, and appreciate your prayers. He really needs a miracle from God. And anybody else before we go to prayer this morning? All right. Well, as Linda's going to play here in just a moment, we're just going to ask you to pray for some of these names that come to your mind and maybe some needs that you couldn't mention. And we know God knows what those are. And then I'll close us out in prayer then. Lord, as we pause this morning, we're thankful that we can gather as the people of God, that we can come into this place, into this building, we can gather together for worship, we can sing and we can pray and we can hear your word and experience your presence and your love and your grace in this place. And Lord, we are so thankful that we can call upon you in our time of need, and you are the one that hears us. You are the one that watches over us. And we think about those that have been mentioned today. Lord, we think about Richard today, who's going to be going in for surgery on Thursday. We just ask that you would just guide the surgeons and be with him, and that they'll be able to correct the things that need to be correct so that he can get that full strength back. And we're thankful today. We pray for Carol and Bruce, asking for your continued strength and healing grace in their bodies, Lord, today. Lord, we lift up Jill and God as we've been praying for her. And we prayed last week, Lord, we're just thanking you now and trusting you for a good report from her test results. And Lord, it'll be a change for everything, for the good. And we're thankful and we trust you today for that. Lord, we so good to hear that story about Trevor, God, and what he was able to do. And we just ask that you would continue to give him strength. And thank you for the blessings that it was. And Lord, we lift up Megan today, who's going through this dialysis, Lord. Her kidneys are not functioning like they should. And we just ask for your healing touch, for your grace and your hand to be with them. Lord, we lift up Elaine today, God, asking for your healing touch in her body, Lord, as she is recovering from that disease. Lord, we just pray that you'll just raise her up and that she'll begin to have strength, new strength every day because of it. And Lord, thank you for bringing Esther through that first cataract surgery. And we just ask that you'll be with her as she goes through this next one, that once again, you'll guide and direct and everything there. And Lord, we lift up Derek to you, God. God, he just really needs a miracle today. And we just ask that you would work somehow, some way to do that miracle in his body and life. And Lord, I just pray for his family and his kids, Lord, that you will just give them faith and strength and courage right now as they're facing so much with what their dad is going through And Lord, we just pray that your hand will be with them. And Lord, we lift up this family with the loss of the loved one there today. God, that you would just extend your peace and your comfort and your love today. And we're thankful for that, as only you can do. Lord, we lift up some. I know there's several today that are traveling and are gone. Lord, we just ask that you will be with them and give them traveling mercies. And whenever they're going to be making their way back, that you will bring them back safely to be with us. And Lord, we lift up these two unspoken needs today. Lord, we know that you know the needs there. And you're able to meet those. And we just ask that you would work and do whatever you need to do in those situations as you can. And Lord, maybe some others today couldn't mention anything, but something that's been on their heart, we just ask that you would minister as only you can. And we're thankful for that. Lord, we lift up these monthly lists of all those names on our monthly list. So many of them. Many of them that are battling cancer and other serious health needs, God, that you would just bring healing touch and strength and ministry to them. God, as there some of them are going through treatments, and Lord, that you will just be with them and watch over them and the others that are mentioned there, God, that you would work in those situations. Thank you for that today. Thank you for your presence with us today. Lord, I just ask that you would speak to us as we break the bread of your word in a little bit, and that you will speak to our hearts and build faith in us and encourage us and send us forth, knowing that we are sustained by you, Lord, that you are the one that carries us through and is with us through thick and thin. And so thank you today as we ask your blessing now on all of these things and give you thanks for it. As we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our prayers, O Lord, incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen.
Thank you for praying with us this morning. And now, as our ushers prepare, we're going to get ready to take up our offering today. And we want to say thank you so much for your faithfulness and giving. We know that the Lord is the one that gives us and blesses us so that we can have jobs and work hard and make a living. And so as our ushers come, God bless you as you give today. Well, let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Lamb of God, shine through these gifts with your light and love, that our ministries and our church may reveal your presence to our world. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. This is our lectionary reading for today, the epistle or letter, and Paul's letter to 1 Corinthians, or his first letter to the Corinthians. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 9 this morning out of chapter 1, and you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Sosthenes. I am writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given to you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your elegant words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now that you have every spiritual gift you need, as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, he will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is God's reading for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, several men were in the locker room at the country club after they just got done golfing. A cellular phone on the bench rings, and a man picks it up and turns it on hands-free or on speakerphone and begins to talk. Everyone else in the room or in the locker room gets real quiet and starts to listen. Hello? Hi, honey, it's me. Are you at the club? Yes. She goes, I'm at the shops now and found this beautiful leather coat. It only costs $2,000. Is it okay to buy it? Sure, go ahead. If that's no big deal at all. Also, she said, by the way, I stopped by the Lexus dealership and saw the new models, and I really liked one. How much? $90,000? Okay, but for that price, I want it full of options. Okay, great. Oh, one more thing. I was just talking to Janie and found out that the house that I wanted last year is back on the market. They're asking $980,000 for it. The man said, well, go ahead and make an offer of $900,000. They'll probably take it. If not, we can go a little extra if we need to. Okay, I'll see you later. I love you so much. Bye, said the man. I love you too. The man hangs up. He looks up, and the other men in the locker room are just staring at him, and their mouths are hanging open in astonishment. The man who answered the phone turns and says, anyone know whose phone this is? Oh, I don't know if we'd ever do something like that, would we? I want to talk to you this morning about sustained by God. I ran across a little thing as I was thinking about Paul writing to the church and what was going on at church, and it said that when Dr. Harry Ironside, who was pastor of Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, one time was after the service. He got done with the service and he was shaking people's hands, and a young lady approached him and said, "Hey, I'm looking for the perfect church, and I wanted to come to your church today." And she said, "When I find it, I'll join it." Well, I'm sure he was probably taken back a little bit by those words, since she had just been in the service. He replied, "Lady, you can look, but I don't think you'll find one. But if you do, you join it, and then it won't be perfect anymore, because you will be part of it." Now, I don't know if that's legend or if that's a true story or not, but I shared that with you because obviously no church is perfect. No church is perfect. And because the church is made up of human beings, because none of us are perfect. And the Apostle Paul was well aware that there was no perfect church. And he knew what was going on in the church of Corinth. In fact, that's the whole reason he began writing to them, because of what has happened. He understood the struggles that the church was facing in Corinth, which was a lively city, a wealthy city, had all kinds of work and activities and ethnicities, and just it was a thriving city in Corinth at the time in the first century. And consequently, though, Paul knew that they were not a perfect church. But instead of being arrogant or holier than thou about it, Paul speaks to them and to their problems in a loving yet serious way. In our reading this morning, and I was really thinking about this as I was kind of just saying those words and thinking about it this week. In spite of all the problems, and I'm not going to list them all, because if I would, there's a few of them you'd probably be shocked at. But in spite of all those problems, Paul begins his letters, as he typically does, with a thanksgiving, where he thanks God for the church at Corinth and for the people that are there. And what he does is he thanks God that God cares for and sustains each and every one of them, in spite of their problems. And here I think Paul speaks to us today in our struggles by assuring us in the church of two things. And I want to focus on these two. There's several different ways we could look at this, but I want to focus on two things for this morning. First of all, God is faithful. Paul said that towards the very end of our reading today. And as I was thinking about that this week and thinking about how God sustains us, he cares for us, he loves us, and he sustains us through everything in life, I started to think about this. When we're struggling in life, remember, God will strengthen us. When we're struggling, remember, God will strengthen us. Even though Paul was aware of the problems in the church, he still declares God has set each and every one of them apart. That's what it says when he says, "You have been made holy in Christ Jesus." That word there for holy conveys the idea that they've been set apart for God and what God is doing in Christ Jesus. Now, why does Paul believe that? Because God is faithful, Paul says. God will strengthen each and every one of them in the church to the end. And I believe that is true of us today. That when we are a part of God's church and we have been baptized and we profess Christ and we've experienced that setting apart, because every one of us that has gone through that have been set apart for God and for the church and for what God wants to do in our lives, that God will strengthen us and be there for us. And so it reminds us that when we are struggling, remember, we are in partnership with Christ. We are in partnership with Christ. In other words, we are not alone in this. Let me read Paul's words again. God is faithful. By him, you were called into partnership with his son. Let me tell you something. We're not alone in our struggles. We're not alone in our battles in life. God is with us in Christ. And Paul says that not only is God with us, but that God in Christ has been enriching our lives, making us more than what we are because of his grace in our lives. And not only that, but he has gifted each of us in various ways, even when we are struggling, even when we are faithless, even when we have doubts, even when we yell at the person in the car next to us who cut us off in traffic while we're driving. All of those things. I mean, we could go on. I could keep talking about it. We are not alone in our struggles. Christ is with us each and every day. And God has been faithful, and God will be faithful to us to the end. And that is the important thing I want us to see this morning. God is faithful. Second thing is God is working. God is working. Throughout this letter, we may see over the next week or so, because there's about three chapters that get covered in the lectionary if I stay with them, of the first part of 1 Corinthians there. We see that Paul keeps emphasizing that God is working in our lives. Do you see God working in your lives? Do you know God is working in our lives? Sometimes when we're going along in life, we're just trying to stay busy or stay ahead of everything that's going on, and we kind of lose track of our perspective that God is with us. And here's what I want you to see. When we are struggling, remember, God's grace is transforming us. In the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of whatever we're facing, God's grace is working in us in those moments to transform us. In fact, the word grace is all over the place in this first chapter of 1 Corinthians. And it reminds us that God's grace is working in the lives of the church, each and every one of us. God's grace is at work in us today so that all might stand blameless before Christ. It's interesting that when Paul talks about this language here of standing before Christ, he talks about us coming in the first century in the Roman Empire, whenever issues had to be worked out or something had to be what we would call coming before the judge, they would usually come and stand before like a little throne, and the judge would be on that throne and be sitting there, and you would come in to wherever it was, and you would plead your case with that leader, whoever it was, probably a providential leader or something like that, and they would make a decision to work out what is going on in your life or what is happening or in your favor or not in your favor. And Paul uses this language that one day we're going to stand before Christ. And he tells us, now a lot of times we're kind of on our own, aren't we? Sometimes we think we're on our own, but we forget that there is somebody that stands with us. Why do we stand before Christ? Why does Paul say we stand before Christ? Because we're told elsewhere in the New Testament that Christ is kind of like our lawyer. He's the one, our advocate. He's the one that's standing between us and God and pleading our case before God for our behalf. And that case that Christ argues for us is always a positive one. It's always yes for him, yes for her, yes for them, yes for each one of them. And we know that Hebrews tells us that Christ is praying for us every day. So think about this for a minute. God's grace is at work in our lives so that we can be blameless one day before God. And that language there sets it up so that we know Christ is praying for us. Christ is advocating for us. He's on our side. And he's with us through everything we're going through. And so it reminds us that whatever we're facing and whatever we're going through in life, God is working in us to transform us so that we can be blameless one day. And then there, you think about that in with God working in our lives. Not only is God working to transform us, but when we are struggling, remember what God has started, God will complete. Paul tells us that specifically in Philippians, but it's hinted at in our reading this morning. Paul is confident that God will complete what God has started in our lives and in our church through Christ. And this is true for each of us. What God started in Corinth, God completed. What God had started in those people's lives in the first century, God completed. And what God started in our lives and in our church here at Lost Creek, God will complete and bring it to completion. As I was thinking about, and it's funny, it kind of struck me this morning, and I had to change a little bit in my message this morning, is the thought came to me when I was getting ready this morning. How many of you remember the Energizer Bunny commercial? You remember that? The Energizer batteries, you know, get the Energizer batteries, you put it in the bunny, and he keeps going and going and going and going. And there are days when we just don't feel like going. We just feel like giving up. We just feel like, I don't want to go to work. I don't want to do this. Whatever it may be. But what makes you and I keep going is the call of God in our lives. The call of God in Christ Jesus that Paul talked about. And what will keep us and sustain us as Christians is the faithfulness of God. So I want you to remember today that we are called by God and sustained by God because God is faithful and God is working in our lives and in our church. And you know what? Our church is not perfect. No church is. But it is sustained by God. And that's the truth this morning for each of our lives. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll just take a few moments there this morning. And you can spend a little time greeting one another and saying hi to a few. And then we'll go ahead and close out with that little chorus we probably sang in Sunday school or vacation Bible school, Into My Heart, this morning. As we get ready to close out, I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to go ahead and sing that little chorus. You can turn to page 489 if you'd like to, or you can just sing along on the PowerPoint this morning. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, let's sing it again. Make it your prayer. Into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's join together for our benediction. Shine brightly, for you are the light of the world.
Shine Christ's light and love.
May the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit bless and sustain us now and always. Amen.